before I left from school this last semester, I really hadn't, it was right when I had figured out what I was going to be doing for the summer, right when I really, the Lord led me to come here, and I was sharing that, a good friend of mine, a professor there, his name's Rocky Harrell, and I was just telling him how excited I was to get to go intern, and how much I was looking forward to it, and everything I'd get to learn, and all the benefits of getting an intern, and just how cool it would be, and he kind of slowed me down, and he tells me, he goes, you know, you just go, you work as hard as you can, you pour your heart out, and you be a blessing to those people, and they're going to be a blessing to you. And I took his words, and I really didn't, you know, think that much on it at that time. But as I've worked through the summer, and I've tried to, you know, in every area, just try to see how I can be a help. And I know there are areas I could have done a lot better. His words are true, and you guys really have been a blessing to me. And so before I even get into the word, I just want to say thank you to Pastor, to Miss Sandy. Just all you guys have been a big blessing to me and my life, and just the teenagers getting to spend time with the youth group and just really getting to know each and every one of the guys and just having a lot of fun going on trips and stuff. I mean, it just made me feel like a teenager again, and it's just awesome. And so I do thank you, this church, just for being so hospitable and so kind to me while I've been here. With that said, he did also say that the third year is where you learn how to preach. So I guess start praying and prepare now. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. If you would stand with me as I read. I want to read the whole chapter here because I think it's important, some things he says towards the end. And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim, whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand to my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image. And they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest." And I'd like everyone to read this next verse, verse number 6. I'd like you to read it with me. Ready, begin. "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I'll keep reading. It says in verse 7, "And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite. He sojourned there where Micah was. The man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou? And he said, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man. And the young man was unto him one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest." He knew that the Lord was going to bless him because he had this Levite to be his priest. Or so, that's what he thought. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I want to thank you just for another opportunity to preach your word, Lord. And I don't take it lightly, and I am just thankful for the calling you've placed on my life, Lord. There's truly no greater thing than being able to just get into your word, Lord, and just to see what you have for us, God. And so I pray that you just be with me, Lord. Be with the words I speak, and just allow me to just communicate your message and just to be nothing more than a mouthpiece, God. Lord, I pray that you would just be with the message, Lord. Convict where it needs to convict, and work in our hearts, Lord. We need you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As Pastor mentioned, when I leave here, I get to spend about 10 days with my family. And like I said, I've really enjoyed being here. But I'm going to enjoy getting to go home and getting to see some family. And it's kind of a weird scenario. I'm from El Paso, Texas, so way down south. But all my extended family is from the Southwest Missouri area. And so my mom got to drive up from El Paso. I'm driving down to the Springfield area, and we're just going to get to spend some time together there where my grandparents live. And I really love visiting my grandparents. It's one of the things growing up, they have a farm. I love going to their farm. I love spending time with them and just spending time around my grandma. She's an awesome lady. She's super fun. And one of the things that my grandma likes to do is play games, like board games, card games, stuff like that. She loves that. We'd sit around the table and we would keep a notepad and we'd sometimes keep score, whether it's Uno or whatever it is we're playing, just throughout the whole trip, we'd be there and we'd just keep score and play lots of games. And I can just think of all the different board games that we used to play and all the different games that I loved playing as a kid. And one really stands out to me that my grandma absolutely loved. She's never told me this personally, but I can pretty much assume just based off of how often we played it, there was this one game that she absolutely loved, and it was called Rummy. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever heard that before. It may sound completely foreign, because that's how it sounded to me. I didn't know anything about this game. I didn't really grow up in a household where we had like a game night or where we played a bunch of games all the time. That wasn't really my family, but my grandma introduced me to this game called Rummy, and she introduced me to it, and she had to teach me the rules because I didn't know any of the rules, which it ended up being a pretty fun game. And every time we'd visit, we'd always play Rummy. It was just kind of a staple of visiting grandma, you play Rummy. They just go hand in hand. But one of the things that ended up happening is, see, we lived in El Paso and we would only get to visit them so often. I would end up forgetting the rules pretty much every time we went. Every time we went to visit grandma, I would forget the rules to Rummy. And, you know, some of the rules are pretty easy. One of the simplest rules is that at the end of your turn, you have to discard. You have to put one of the cards back. It's like the easiest, most simplistic rule ever. But, you know, I wouldn't be playing for quite a while, and then we would visit. She'd explain the rules, and it'd be my turn, and I'd be so excited to go. And, you know, I'd try to get the run or try to get everything right to where I could win. And then I'd be like, man, that was a good turn. And I'm like waiting, and everybody else is looking at me. And I'm like, I took my turn. Like, I went, guys. Whoever's next, it's your turn to go. And they're all like, you forgot to discard. Every time I forget to discard. But you know, that's one of the rules. And in order to play the game right, in order to have a fun time playing the game, you have to be familiar with the rules and you have to be able to follow the rules in order to have fun with the game. You know, another game I think of is the game Monopoly, right? Everybody's played Monopoly. Who hasn't played Monopoly? But you know, no matter how many times you've played it, when you think about it, that game has a lot of rules. I mean, you got to know what to do with the money. You got to know how to roll the dice. There's all kinds of things in that game. Could you imagine now, you're sitting around and you're playing Monopoly, and you're playing with someone who's never played before. They don't know any of the rules. And they don't know the difference between the chance cards, the community chess cards. They don't know when they should pass go. They don't know what gets them into jail, and if they go to jail, can they pass go and collect $200? I mean, they don't know any of the rules to Monopoly, right? It would be really hard for them to play if they didn't know the rules. And maybe you're playing Crazy Eights, and somebody doesn't know how to play, and so it gets to their turn, and they're like, go fish! And you're like, it's not even the same game. Like, what are you doing? But you see, when we try to play a game and we don't know the rules, it's never going to go right. And oftentimes what we can do is, and I remember doing this as a little kid, is if you don't know the rules to the game, what do? You make up your own rules. And that gets really chaotic. I mean, it's so confusing when you're like, I thought we said you're not supposed to do this. Well, I thought it was okay if you had this. Or only when you, I mean, when you try to play a game by making up the rules and you don't write them down or something, it's really hard. I mean, you're never going to have a consistent game. And every time you go back to it, you're going to forget. But in our story today, I want to talk about this man named Micah. And we just read about this man, Micah. And this is a man who, that was his choice. He decided to make up and he decided to live by his own set of rules. And nobody explained to him the right choices to make. Nobody showed him how to play or the right rules to life. But no, he just came up with whatever rules he wanted to, and he did what he thought was right. And just like the illustration about the games, this led to him living a very chaotic and a very strange life. And Micah developed his own pattern for his life. And he really kind of created his own set of rules when it came to life and when it came to religion. And that's the story I want to talk about today. It's about this man whose name was Micah. You see, the story about this man Micah is found in the book of Judges. But nowhere in the passage that I just read do we hear about a judge. Maybe you aren't familiar with the way the book of Judges is laid out in the Old Testament, but how it worked is the Israelite people, they would fall into the bondage of sin, and they would be taken captive by just different groups of people, and God would send them a judge. God would send them someone to offer them guidance, to offer them leadership. And while that person was on the scene, while that judge was there, the people would focus on him and they would say, hey, we need to get right. We need to be right with the Lord, and we need to follow what this judge says. And then the judge would really, he'd save them out of that sin. He'd rescue them from whatever group was that was trying to persecute them at the time. But then so often the judge would fall off of the scene, whatever would take place, and then there would be no more judge, and the people would go right back. They would go right back to the same sin. They would go right back to the same style of life that they were living before the judge was even present. And that's really just the whole idea of this book, is that it's just this revolving circle. If you've got a judge on the scene, the people start to do right, the judge leaves, the people are back to doing wrong, and they need a judge again. I mean, it just keeps going. And that's the whole story. And so often after the judge would leave, after the judge would go off the scene, is right when we would see the people in the most desperate need for God, because they'd be grow so far from where God would want them to be, is right after this judge was passed. One of the judges was this judge named Samson. And we know the story of how he used his strength and he really kind of saved the people from the Philistines. And God used that judge. And even though Samson didn't do everything right, God still used him to help bring the people closer to him. But right after him, the people, once again, they chose to do what they thought was right. And they chose to live in their own will, just like the illustration. They chose to make up their own rules. And right after the story of Samson is where we find the story of Micah. It was a time where God was completely absent, a time where people developed their own morals. Truth was subjective to the people. They got to choose what they thought was right. They had their own truth. It was a time when there was zero regard for things that were holy and for the things of God. And this is the time right where we find this story with this man named Micah. So what takes place in this passage? First off, we're introduced to Micah, and we see him having this conversation with his mother. You see, he had stolen from his mother, and we begin with this confession that he stole from his mom. And it wasn't like he had just taken some change out of her purse. No, it was quite a large sum that he stole from her. Micah himself admits to it that it was 1,100 shekels of silver. And Micah also made it clear that she was very upset about it. She cursed about it, and she made sure to let everybody know about it. Now, I'm not condoning that, you know, Micah's mom was cursing about this silver, but you can imagine that this would just make her very, very upset. 11,000 shekels of silver. That's, from my research, I found that's about 400 ounces of silver. So in today's value, that's over $10,000 that he just stole from his mom. Like she wouldn't notice. Come on. And Pastor mentioned that he got to meet my mom the other day. He got to see my family, and that was really awesome that my mom was there to meet him. And he even admitted, my mom's a pretty nice lady, and I would agree to that. My mom was a pretty awesome mom. But I can imagine that if I had stolen $10,000 from my mom, whoo, she would not be a happy camper. My mom would not be happy if I took that much money or even half of that from my mom. But what do we see here in this passage is in the third verse, it says that she planned on giving Micah the silver anyways. You see, where you would think, oh, you know, she's going to be super upset at Micah. She's going to be so mad that he took this money. That's not what we see taking place. She said, oh, it's fine. You see, I had dedicated that money to you, Micah, so that you could make idols, so that you could make graven images. And really, it just kind of begins to show us the situation that we were living in, because it was a time when they were Israelites. They should have known that God had told them not to make any graven image. But sure enough, that's what Micah was doing. And so that's what she did. She gave him a portion of his money that he had stolen. And we can understand that it was wrong for Micah to make idols. But I just want to think for a second. He used the money that he stole to make idols for worship. I mean, could you imagine if we were like, oh, let's go out and rob a bank so that we can build a really nice church building. I mean, it's a good plan, but the problem with it is that, you know, there's something messed up. There's something really off, really crazy when you say, oh, I'm justifying this sin and I'm justifying doing this wrong because it's right in my own mind. And that's exactly what Micah is doing. It just goes to show the time he was living in, where he was choosing to do whatever he thought was right, because he thought it was okay to steal. He thought it was okay to have these idols. And sure enough, that's where Micah was living in. He was justifying all his sinning because of the religion that was in his life. And you see, Micah, he didn't just have a few idols that were in his house. No, the Bible says in verse 5 that Micah had a house of gods. It even said that Micah had an ephod. So an ephod was like this vest that the high priest would wear. Maybe you've seen a picture before, but it would have been gold and it would have had all these gemstones on it. I mean, it would have been pretty costly. It would have been an expensive thing. And he had one of those in his house. The Bible says that he had a teraphim, which was like an idol to his ancestors, to his family. It was another deity that he was worshiping. The Bible says that he even made one of his sons to be his priest. Now, not only was this kind of weird, like, hey, come here, be my priest, son. Like, not only was it kind of off, it would have been wrong, because the Bible is very clear that the priests were to come from the tribe of Levi. They would have came out of the generations of Moses' brother Aaron. That's where the priests were supposed to come from. And yet Micah, he didn't care about all of that. He didn't matter. It's not, you know, doctrinally correct. It's not a big deal. Nah, it'll be fine. He can be my priest. And, you know, there's so many things that we look at and we say, you know, the way Micah did that, that's kind of odd. Why would he have all these things? But I want to submit to you today that Micah was a very religious man. I think these things, the idols that he had, the house of gods, the his own son being his priest, I think all these things go to show us that Micah was very, very concerned with being as devout as possible and with having the religion in his life. I mean, he really went out of his way for these things that were obviously very costly and very, very important to him. I mean, even by the standard in the world that was around him, yeah, there was idol worship and there was other wrong things that were going on. But even in the world around him, Micah, he really stood out. He did all kinds of things to attempt to honor God. You see, Micah, he had a desire to do right. And as I said, I truly believe that he went through every effort possible to have this house of God and to have a personal priest. I truly believe that Micah, he had a desire to serve and to follow God. That's so vital that we catch this, that Micah, he really did want to follow God. I can't help but pause here for a minute and just think about the world that we live in today. You know, it's true that as we get closer and closer to the Lord's return, that fewer and fewer people are receptive of Him, and that we begin to see a situation just like this, where people are living in their own truth, they're living their own life, whatever they think is right. We see that in our world today, and often as Christians, we can get so discouraged and say, every time I knock on a door, people, they don't even care anymore. Used to, they might care a little bit or say, oh, I've thought about it. Now it's like, they don't even have time to learn about Jesus. They don't care. And we can get so discouraged in the time that we're living in. But I think it's important to pause here Because just like Micah, I think there is still a reason that the Lord is tarrying his coming. There's still a reason that he's waiting. And it's because there are still people in our world today that are like Micah, that are searching, that want to know God, that are trying to do everything right. And that ought to be a convicting thought to us as Christians. As Christians who know the truth, who have the light, who are able to be a witness to those people and to show them, listen, God loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you and you can know him. It ought to convict us that there are people who are just trying to do their best and just searching and blindly wandering down any religious road that they can take. But if we look in verse 6, the verse that we read aloud, it's as if the writer of this passage, he had complete understanding why it was that Micah and the country of Israel as a whole and so many that are in our world today were so deep in their false religion. It says in verse 6, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Why is it that this man Micah and that Israel and so many in our world can be so far removed from the truth? Why is it that they can try every road, every avenue? They can go to 100 different, you know, religious centers. They can try everything that they want, but they can only come up with wrong answers. It's because of this statement in verse 6, when there isn't a king, when there's no leadership, every man does what is right in his own eyes. You see, mankind has always had a problem with this. From the beginning of time, man has created himself to be the primary being. From the very beginning, mankind has always made himself the measure of right and wrong. I didn't put it in my notes, but I was doing some research about a man who was known as the father of relativism, so close to humanism and just really anti-God. And in this man's attempt, I think his name was Protagoras or something like that, in his attempt to disprove God, to disprove their being spiritual beings, in his attempt to disprove that, he said, man the measure. And by that, he meant that when something's right or wrong, our conscience is what determines that. If we feel bad about it, then it's wrong. But if we feel good about it, if it makes us happy, then we'll do it. And that's exactly the lifestyle that Micah had. That's exactly how Micah was living. Because all our lives, we have that same problem of choosing what's right by our own set of standards, by doing what's right in our own eyes. I tried to think of a funny way to illustrate this, and one thing did come to my mind, and that is, I mean, little kids. Because when you talk about a group that needs leadership and guidance, it's the little kids. And some of you guys are smiling right now, and he's asleep. But one of my favorite things this summer is getting to know Josiah. I mean, that guy is awesome. He's just so funny. And the illustration I was going to use, he actually proved it this morning because he did the very same thing. But a while ago, for visitation on Saturday morning, everybody shows up and Josiah decides to come, and he's got on cowboy boots, his cowboy hat, and he even brought his gun. So, I mean, you're going door to door, inviting people to church, and Josiah's going door to door and holding them up. I mean, it's just awesome. But Josiah, he was doing what he thought was right. You know, I mean, he had his hat, he had his gun. Nobody told him, hey, make sure you have your cowboy hat on today. No, he was just doing what he thought was going to be awesome. And it was. I mean, I loved it. And you know, it reminded me of when little kids are first have the opportunity to pick out their own outfits, you know? I mean, some of you guys have little kids, and you can only imagine the combinations that they would come up with, like the colors and stuff. You know, if I had it my way, I would have worn my coonskin cap and my Peter Pan shirt pretty much everywhere I went. Like, it didn't matter. If I was going to church, coonskin cap. If I was going to the grocery store, same thing. I mean, that's just what I did. And it really does illustrate this idea of choosing to do whatever you think is right, because that's what little kids do. I mean, you can hardly imagine just giving your children just free rein to make any choice they want to make. I mean, it's really a crazy thought. But, you know, that's the way Micah was living. And just like it would be chaotic to let little kids make every choice throughout their day and let them determine what they think is right and wrong. It was just as chaotic in Micah's life because he was doing whatever he thought was right. He was just going through life making his own choices with no regard to God, with no regard to anything else besides how does it make me feel? Is it right in my own eyes? And this pattern just continues in his life. There's clearly no leadership throughout his life. In verse 7, we see him hiring a young Levite to be his priest. Now you say, well, I mean, I guess it's better than his son because he finally got a Levite to be his priest. But Levites were supposed to be in the temple and not for personal hire like Micah wanted it. And so he's off again. And then it's a little bit of speculation, but the Bible says that he was a young Levite. I think the Bible would include that he was young for a reason, because there was a certain standard that Levites had to be priests. There were certain qualifications that they had to meet. And so I think by mentioning that he was young, the Bible is making it clear that this was somebody who he wasn't qualified to be a Levitical priest. But Micah didn't care because he said Levite, and that was good enough. And I think in our world today, we've got a lot of good enough Christians. We've got a lot of, oh, well, you know, the Bible says we should do it this way, but we're going to fall just a little short. We're going to cut a few corners, and it'll be good enough. And that's exactly how Micah was living. And so often, you know, we think that we're doing everything right. You know, Micah, he was sure because of the people that he was with, the things that he had, the ephod, you know, the priests. He was sure that everything he was doing was right. We can be just the same way. And as church-going Christians, we can have the same mentality that Micah had, because so often we can be just as guilty by saying, you know, I go to church when I can, I tithe more than everybody else, or you know, I even help out in a Sunday school class, or teach here, or I work as the church treasurer, whatever the case may be. We so often think that we're doing everything right. And Micah convinced himself that he was doing everything right. But the truth that he was only doing what was right in his eyes. Really, he wasn't living for God. He wasn't living to please God. He was just living with the idea of, you know, I'm going to live as best as I can. It's good enough. And the sad part is that Micah's story eventually comes to a pretty tragic ending. In chapter 18, we won't read it, but he has all of his stuff stolen. So I go as far as to think, if chapter 17 is all about, you know, this kind of empire that Micah has built with his shrines and his priests and his temples and all the cool things that he has, then to have all that taken from him in chapter 18 would have been a pretty big deal to him. I mean, just imagine he's built his whole life following all these religious codes, trying to make all of these idols that he could with all this money that he had, I mean, some of it stolen, but all this money that he had made, right? And then it's all taken away from him. And then to add insult to injury, his priest, the guy that he hired to be his priest, the Levite, decides to basically go with the highest bidder, the tribe of Dan. And so his priest decides, you know, working for Micah is not good enough. He only paid me this much. And his priest basically turns his back on him. And so we have Micah who's left with absolutely nothing. I mean, he's all alone. It never worked out good for him. All his religious activities, everything he tried, it didn't work out. So how was it that Micah was so far from the truth? I mean, here's a man, he worked his whole life seeking God's acceptance. And never once do we see him doing things the right way. He worked his whole life to be as religious as possible. But, you know, with every adventure that he took to try to get closer and do the right things, he veered farther and farther away from God's intended plan. But it all leads back to one statement. One key statement in this passage tells us why Micah was so far from pleasing God, no matter what he tried. That one statement is, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You see, anyone will fail to please God when they do only what's right in their own eyes. Anyone will fail. That doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how often you go to church. Doesn't matter who you are. Anyone will fail to please God when they only do what's right in their eyes. Now, I am aware that this is the Sunday night crowd, and a lot of you guys have been going to church for a long time, and you genuinely try to do what's right. I don't doubt that many in this room are saved and have a desire to follow God. Just your presence here tonight shows me that. But I'd like to submit tonight that I believe Micah would have been sitting right here too. I mean, look at all the religious things he was doing. Look at all the ways he tried to get closer to God. I think wholeheartedly that Micah would have been a part of that Sunday night crowd. You see, from this account, it's clear that he was trying to do all the right actions and he wanted to please God, but he failed. Why? Why did Micah fail, even though he was trying? I mean, surely Micah would have at least once thought to reach out and to have God be the leader in his life. But Micah was only ever led by his own desires. He never was truly led by the Lord. It was always his own ambitions and his own ideas that he had. Hey, let's make this. Let's do this better. Let's have this ephod. Let's get another priest in. Let's try to do this. And once again, I mean, just look at the state of our churches today. There's so many churches where that's all they want to do is say, oh man, we don't know what to do. We're not getting people in the doors. Let's try to make this better. Let's try to, you know, bribe kids with candy and see how many we can get to come. Let's try to make things more fun and entertaining. How about we have shorter preaching time and you know, longer praise time? And let's take all these actions to do everything right by our own eyes. What do the people want? No. What does God want? And that's where Micah was off. Because never once did he ask what God wanted in his life. No, he was content to do what he wanted, what was right in his own eyes. And so, Christian, I have to ask, are you allowing the Lord to lead in your life? You see, it seems so simple. And we sit here and we say, Micah, just turn to God. It's that easy. But so often we are caught up in doing all the actions and we never allow God to lead in our heart. You see, it doesn't matter what you're doing on the outside, but what's on the inside is what God looks at. Pastor preached this morning and he made this statement. He said, acknowledge your guide. And then he quoted Proverbs 3:6. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. See, Micah, he never acknowledged God. And I think that even tonight that we can struggle with acknowledging God. See, we have to get over our own pride and we have to say, God, I need you to lead me. Because without God's guidance, without him leading us, without making him the leader, we're going to head off path just like Micah did. Like I said, Micah would have been a religious man. Micah would have tried to do everything right. You can't hold to the fact, I try to do my best. No, Micah was trying his best and it didn't work for him. If we are going to allow ourselves to be led by anything but the Word of God, then we can try to justify it. We can try to say it's going to work out, but in the end, we are really doing what's right in our own eyes. If it's anything but the Bible, if it's anything what should be the ultimate authority in each of our lives, then we're going to get off track just like Micah. Another quote from this morning, Pastor said, when you put the light down, you lose track of what you need. Listen, I am so thankful for the Word of God, and we all should be so thankful that God has given us His very words to follow. It's a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. God has showed us the way. God promises to guide us when we follow His Word. You don't want to get off track. You don't want to live just guessing that you're doing things right, hoping that God will do good to you and bless you. You don't want the Micah style of religion. Do you want the peace of knowing that you are on God's path? Then you'd better make the Bible a big deal in your life. And you may say, man, it's convicting. I don't like reading that Bible because it shows me what's wrong in my heart. You may find it a struggle to wake up and to say, I need to read the Bible, but there's so many other things I need to do today. It can be hard to read the Bible. You may say, man, I don't want to go to church today because it's hard. But the Bible's going to be preached there. How big of a deal is the Bible in your life? Because in Micah's life, the reason he got to the end of his path and had nothing, the reason that his life was so far off track is because he never had the Bible in it. He never let God lead him. Where are we? Where are we letting God lead us? If we only do what's right in our eyes and we never allow God to lead us, we're going to be off track just like Micah. Maybe tonight you know in your heart that God's not leading in your life. Listen, we can try whatever methods we want to please God and to do right, but you'll never get to heaven by doing what's right in your own eyes. Listen, no amount of good works, no amount of trying hard or doing the right thing is going to work for you. You see, Micah was attempting to fill a God-sized hole in his heart. We all have a God-sized hole in our heart. And Micah was trying to fill that with idols and with religion. And in our life, maybe we don't, you know, sacrifice to real, you know, object idols. But just the same way, we can be just like Micah. Because no amount of sports, no amount of alcohol, no amount of sin, no amount of anything that we try to replace God with is going to fill that hole. And you can say, man, I'm trying to do everything right. I think my good works are going to outweigh my bad works. I think I'm going to be good enough for God. Listen, our God is a gracious God. But when it comes to how we trust in Him and how we believe in Him, He's made it very clear in His Word that with the mouth confession is made. And the Bible is clear that we need to be biblically saved and under His blood in order to get to heaven. And the truth is that it doesn't matter what else you're adding in. It doesn't matter, just like Mike, all the other things you can do are unimportant. And one day you're going to stand before the throne of God and you're going to give account for your life. And I'd hope that you'd be able to stand there and you'd be able to say, I put my faith and trust in the Word of God. I believed that Jesus died for me. And I believe that He forgave me of my sins, and that when He died on the cross, He cleansed me of my unrighteousness. And He made me able to go before the Father. I hope that's what we say when we get to heaven and not, I tried to do everything right. I had all these, you know, I had the idols. Are we relying on our idols or are we relying on God? Are we doing what's right in our eyes? Or are we doing what's right according to God and according to His Word? God was not okay with Micah just doing things His way. And it ought to be that way in our life too. We ought not be okay with just doing things good enough and doing things our way. No, we ought to want to do things God's way. Maybe tonight you're a Christian and you have been saved, but you know as a Christian that God is still not the leader in your life. You see, this passage here, it says, and there was no king in the land. You see, it's very possible that we are saved individuals, that we have allowed Jesus to enter our heart and that we've trusted in Him, but in the way that we're living, we've not allowed Him to be Lord and to be King. So I want to ask you, is there a King? When God tells you to do something, do you listen to Him? You see, if you're not allowing God to rule in your life, then you're in total rebellion to what He's telling you to do. You only do enough to get by and to look like you're following God, just like Micah tried to do everything he could to do right, but really in his heart he was wrong. Luke 6:46 says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Christian, is He the King in your life, or are you still just doing what's right in your own eyes? When He tells you to be a witness to that person, when He convicts your heart that you ought to serve Him more and that it ought to be more than just a show, that it shouldn't be, oh, you know, I go to church, I do the right things, I even help out every now and then. No, it should be, I have a heart to serve God. You come to church, you profess His name, you say, Lord, Lord, He's my God, I trust in God, but you know all too well in your heart that those are outward actions and that in reality, you don't care about the things of the Lord and you live your life so caught up on other things, and yeah, you come to church, you do what you can, but in reality, you're just living outwardly, and really what you're doing is what's right in your eyes. So God convicts us, and we make the choice to say, Lord, I know you're convicting me. I know you're talking directly to me. I know I should be reading my Bible more, and I know it would be right for me to go and to make things right with that person and to talk with them. And I know that's what would be right by your eyes. And then we step away and we say, but that's what you want me to do, God. And I'm over here doing what I want to do. I'm doing what's right in my eyes. How many times are we going to have God say, hey, I want you to work on this. I need you to do this. I'm convicting you about this. Nope. I'm going to do what's right in my eyes. How many times are we going to do that before the God who loves us says, you don't want to follow me. You want to stay doing what's right in your eyes. You're okay doing what's right in your eyes. And he lets us do what's right in our eyes. The Bible is clear that we can get to that point where God will turn us over and let us do whatever we think is right. How sad it is that Micah was at a place where everything he did, everything he tried was what was right in his own eyes. And he thought the Lord would do him good. Verse 13 makes it clear that he said, you know, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have this Levite. And we can do the same thing. Now, I know God's going to do me good because I went to church this time. I know God's going to do me good because, you know, I try to serve him and I look like I'm serving God. I know he's going to do me good now. And then you don't see the blessings in your life and you think, well, I tried to follow God, but I didn't see the blessings. So I'm just going to go back to doing what I think is right. And that's what we do as Christians. Our Christian life is so similar to the book of Judges. We want God to lead us and he helps us. But then we fall back into doing what we think is right. And we need to come back to God and we need to go to God and we need to confess our sin. We need to say, Lord, I want you to lead in my life. I need your word to guide my feet. I need you to be the leader in my life. Make the Bible and make the Lord your compass. When you follow God and when you make him your compass, it's hard to get off track. Micah was off track, and when he was off track, his life was led to a place of danger and led to a place where all of his things were stolen and these tribes were constantly just bothering him and creating all these problems. And I can't help but think, oh, how sweet your life would have been, Micah, if you'd have just stayed in God's plan. But he never did. He never once acknowledged God. And where are we tonight? Do we acknowledge God? We can all try to live the life of a Christian and look like everything's okay on the outside. We can show up to church and smile and everyone around us may think that we've got everything right. Everyone around us may think, wow, that's what a good Christian. Look at them taking all the right actions. I think that's how the people would have viewed Micah. I mean, with all those things he had, he would have stood out. He wasn't just your run-of-the-mill guy. No, he was very religious. And we see that in chapter 18. When the tribe comes to see what's going on there, they immediately see what's in the house of Micah and they want it. I think a lot of people in our world, they look at Christians and they say, wow, what a successful Christian over there. Look at how God has just helped them through this. Look at how God's blessing them. And people want to see what we have as Christians. But listen, the successful Christian life has nothing to do with what we look like on the outside. It doesn't matter that we go to church, that we smile, that we try to make all the right choices when we're choosing in our heart to do what's right in our own eyes. See, the successful Christian life, it begins in the heart. Living for God and living a life that's truly pleasing to God. Not the Micah religion, but the relationship that we can have with God. It begins in the heart. It's a heart decision. Choosing to follow God's word, even when it's hard. shows that he is the king of your life. When we let him be the Lord, we no longer do what's right in our own eyes. No, we look to God and we do what's right by him. You can rest assured that God's in control. There's a peace that comes. See, when you let God lead and be that compass in your life, you don't have to worry because you know that you're protected in God's hands. The Bible's clear that no man can pluck you from his hand. It's so true that when we are living like Micah and we're living in our own will and doing what's right in our eyes, how can we know where our safety lies? But when we give our lives to God and when we live in his plan, we know of his protection. We know that he cares for us, and there's a peace that comes with that. I made the illustration of the cards and the board games and trying to play by your own rules. Listen, don't be like Micah trying to play life by your own rules. No, live your life by God's rules. Let God lead you. Let him be the Lord in your life. Let God lead and watch how he blesses your life and how he can use you. You see, Micah was never able to be used by God. He had all the religion, but that never made a difference to anyone else besides him, and only for a short while then. But when we truly allow God to use us, he will use us. Don't live your life doing what's right in your eyes. Do what's right by God. Follow the Bible and follow the Lord's leading, and he will bless you. He will take care of you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you just once again for this opportunity, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, we wouldn't try to do what's right in our own eyes, but every opportunity that we would seek to do what's right by you, God, that we wouldn't make choices based off of our own desires and how they make us feel, and even if it's uncomfortable, God, but our choices would be made with the desire to be pleasing to you and to live our lives to please you, God. Lord, we do need your help. We need your guidance, Lord. We can't live without you guiding. And we need to know that you love us, Lord, and you promise in your word that you do love us. And so we pray that you would just be close to us, Lord, and offer that guidance that you promise. Lord, we pray that if there's any decisions that need to be made, Lord, to allow you to guide us when we're holding on and we don't want to let go, Lord, pray that those decisions would be made. In Jesus' name, amen.